Welcome to Divine Intervention. This is a podcast looking at the very finest and some of the best value South African wines with me, Chio Fraser, and our food and wine guru, Michael Griffin. Sit back, enjoy, and if you've seen what the bottle is, buy one and taste it with us. Welcome back to Divine Intervention. This is a wine tasting podcast in which we feature some of the finest South African wines. Occasionally we'll try a brandy or a port or a sherry, but as long as it comes from the Cape, as long as it comes from the most beautiful vineyards in the world, we will give it a go. And today we are trying a red wine. It's a red Merlot, but before I introduce the wine, I think I should introduce the fellow participants in this tasting. Down in the Cape, as usual, we have our food and wine guru, celebrity chef, Michael Oliphair. Michael, good evening and welcome.
Oh, John, thank you so much. Nice to be back with you.
Well, nice chatting to you as well. And I've been watching you on Monday mornings on the Espresso show on SABC3 when you've been cooking. And recently, I saw you did a very nice chicken breast with garam masala on, yes, on a naan bread, yes, with a very nice chutney as well.
Yeah.
Do you make up all these recipes or?
I do every second week. Every other week I do a recipe from the Pick and Pay Fresh Living magazine. But certainly that fresh chutney and the chicken breast was mine.
Well, I hope you're going to put it on your website because I'd like to try it sometime.
I'll do that for you. I still have to send you the steamed fruit pudding recipe too.
Excellent. Anyway, enough of food. We must go back to wine. But before we try the wine, with me in the studio in Joburg, we welcome Malcolm McDonald from Tursus, who is not only our technical guru for these recordings, he will also be tasting with us. Malcolm, great to have you back.
Good to be here.
And our other guest today is independent economist and analyst Ian Cruickshanks, no stranger to a glass of wine. Ian,
not
good evening.
Nor to your good self. Thank you, John. Good to be with you.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us. Okay, let's plod ahead. Michael, we are trying today a Merlot, a 2012 Merlot. It's the Cellar Selection Merlot from Kleiner Salzer. Tell us about it.
John, Kleiner Salzer do three different ranges. They do the Vineyard Selection, Cellar Selection, and the Family Reserve. This Merlot, made by Johan Hubert, who's their wonderful winemaker, uses grapes which come from Blanc on the Kleiner Salzer farm. And the wine is the grapes, rather, are cool fermented with a juice pumped over the top three times a day. And this happens in stainless steel tanks, and then it goes into fourth fill oak barrels for a malolactic fermentation, and then into fifth fill barrels for the final maturation for a period of about 14 months or so. So you land up with what is for me almost a benchmark Merlot. It's got that lovely sort of blood plum and red berries on the nose, and then that carries through onto the palate where you have this lovely, rich fruit. It's got a spiciness to it, a sort of oak spice, and then it's got a lovely sort of crisp acidity to it, and a soft finish at the end. It's a wine that I think will last a good couple of years. Because it's a soft tannined wine, I think it could happily take spicy food as long as there's not too much chili around, because chili and tannin don't work together, or else maybe your favourite confit duck breast with a nice berry sauce.
Well, I'd say, Michael, to my taste, this is a bit young. It's a little bit harsh. If I were to purchase a case or two, I'd certainly lay it down for a couple of years.
Yes.
But I assume if I was drinking this with food, it might go a little better than just having it on its own.
Absolutely. No, certainly it's very much a food wine, but nevertheless delicious. It's got all the component parts.
And your Afrikaans is better than mine. Is it Kleiner Salzer or Kleiner Salzer? How would you pronounce it?
Kleiner Salzer.
Kleiner Salzer. Gosh. Okay. Well, we'll leave you to pronounce it in future. Well, that's my take on it. It's still a little bit young. Not a bad wine, but not something I would necessarily rush out to drink today on its own. But as you say, as a food wine, maybe this would work. But what do I know? Malcolm McDonald, you're a red wine buff. What do you make of this?
For me, maybe not is interesting. I mean, I think it's a good, what I would call a stark marker wine, but it's not especially interesting in the notes that I picked up. Or maybe I'm having a bad nose day, I don't know.
Not at all, not at all. We all have our own views of wines, and we don't have to gush unless they're really stunning. This is Michael, will this open up more? Will it become more complex over time?
I think so. I think that youngish wines like this, I mean, this is sort of like 18 months old, you know, still a little bit sort of purple around the edges. But I think if you decanted it and sort of, you know, glugged it into a decanter, you'll find that it does soften in the glass, but it does need that sort of ameliorating food factor to go with it.
Well, Ian Cruickshanks, your opinion.
First of all, when I picked it up and sniffed, I was overwhelmed. I think it has a wonderful nose. So to me, this would start off a very good nose day. I really do like that. And then I did pick it up and I sort of swirled it around. And I see not much in the way of legs on that glass. So would it last quite long? I don't know. But if I bought a case of it, I probably wouldn't keep it too long, because I'd be so intrigued with seeing how it was getting on. I'd want to work my way through it. And I think this is the advantage of a wine like this. It's going to mature fairly quickly and should be enjoyed over this period. And unlike, say, a Cabernet Sauvignon, which could last for a decade, this I don't think could.
Michael, food and wine pairing, I think this would make a fairly good unpretentious braai wine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, certainly. You know, I think, as I said, spicy food, maybe some really nicely charred a boerewors would go down quite well too. Certainly braai wine. And a sort of Italian, robust Italian pasta sauces, you know, with anchovies and black olives and tomato and onion.
And how about your grilled chicken breast on a naan bread?
Absolutely.
Indian food.
this wine would work really well with that.
And tell us about the estate. I think I'm right that I've had a very good meal at the Terroir restaurant, which is sited on the estate.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. It has a golf course for which it's very well known, and a very nice lodge where you can actually go and stay overnight so that you don't have to drive home after dinner. But of course, a Terroir restaurant is famous. Michael Broughton, the chef there, is very well known, and he's just such a cool dude, and the food really is fantastic.
Now, I was looking at some write-ups of the latest Diners Club Wine List of the Year Awards, and
yeah.
I noticed one thing that they appear to frown upon in terms of an entry is a wine estate restaurant promoting the wines from that estate. Now, I read that, and I thought that's absolutely ludicrous, because one of the best things you can do is to go into a restaurant in the vineyards and have 1, 2, 3, 4, or 20 glasses of wine from that very estate. Why on earth are they so daft?
Yeah. No, certainly you want to. I mean, certainly for me, if I go to any wine estate, I'm certainly not going to go and order wine from another producer while I'm there, because, I mean, you get the whole feeling of the thing. You know, you taste the food that the chef has specially made to go with the wine there. Certainly, I think you need to drink the wine of the estate when you're there.
Well, I've already got rid of my diner's card some time ago, and I have no intention of renewing it if they had that rather stupid attitude. What do you think, Malcolm McDonald?
I would love to go to an estate where there's a restaurant that has food made to go with the wines they sell. You get the understanding of what should go with what. You get the understanding of how well the wine works with various foods. Absolutely brilliant idea. I think it can be done another way.
Yeah,
I wholeheartedly agree with that. And just to prove I can pronounce it well, Kleiner Salsa must definitely go onto my shopping list as a place to go to enjoy their wines. And perhaps because I love basic peasant-type food, what Michael was describing as a braai place or basic Italian food, this wine would go very well with those. I'd like to enjoy them both at Kleiner Salsa.
And Michael, just on that trend, Kleiner Salsa's, the Terroir restaurant, has quite a reputation and has been around a while, but
yes.
I, it almost seems that a new restaurant opens in the winelands almost every week, almost every month, almost every day.
Yeah, and they certainly come and go. But you know, the old favorites just keep on going on. And certainly on Plaine Azalsa, Terroir has been there for a number of years, and one hopes that it's going to be around for quite a long time still.
And I do recall I stayed in the Protea Hotel that's just up the road from the Plaine Azalsa estate, bordering the estate.
Yes.
Not only does that have an absolutely magnificent panoramic view from the breakfast room restaurant, but of course you can get from there to the Terroir restaurant and back without having to go anywhere near the main road. And you can probably even walk it. So if you're ever staying in that Protea and you're looking for somewhere to eat, that's not a bad recommendation.
Yeah, for sure.
Malcolm, when were you last in the Winelands?
December, I think. I was there and we went to, and of course the name goes blank right now, Fairview. We were at Fairview. And enjoyed a meal there at the Goat Father.
Yeah.
The Goat's Head, I think they call it.
The Goat's Head.
Yes. Oh, okay. I've been there a couple of times. The last time I was there, they were just too busy. I think it was a public holiday or something, and there were coach parties everywhere, and the staff were coping, but you didn't get that level of intimacy and really personal service that I like, even in a fairly casual place like that. How about you, Ian? Are you a regular visitor to the wine?
Regrettably not, and it's been too long ago. Not for the last couple of years, I'm sorry to say. But I agree with you that, you know, one's got to avoid the height of the Christmas season or holiday season in the Cape, because these buses come by and disgorge masses of people who demand noisily for whatever is there. No, but if one can do it quietly out of season, good time to go.
And of course, Michael, one advantage of going at a quiet time is not too many queues in the tasting room.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And great attention.
Yes.
Well, that was our look at the Plaine Azalsa Merlot 2012 from their cellar selection. A red wine that certainly is drinkable now, will probably get better before too long, and is not a bad pairing for some fairly robust food. So it just remains for me, John Fraser, to thank our food and wine guru down in the Cape, Michael Oliphant. Michael, thanks so much for joining us again.
Such a pleasure, John.
And our two tasters in Joburg, Ian Cruikshanks, great to see you.
Thank you, good to be with you.
And of course, Malcolm McDonald. Malcolm, thank you not only for your tasting wisdom, but for making sure that this is almost audible when people click on it on the website.
Well, thank you very much, and you're most welcome.
This has been Divine Intervention.